Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Theresa Thomas, in two terms, the mayor in Columbus, and because nobody's perfect, also a lawyer, and now a Senate candidate. Todd, why the desire to be a U.S. Senate candidate?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, as a lawyer, and let me just say, everybody loves to tell lawyer jokes until they need one.
Sure.
So, But as a lawyer, I specialize in complex litigation, developed a talent for basically resolving dysfunction. I was referred cases by other lawyers that were really in the ditch, and it was my job to unwind the dysfunction, get them ready for either trial, settlement, or some sort of appellate review. And that came in handy when I was mayor of Columbus. And I got to tell you, Tim, when I look at Washington, D.C., and I see the dysfunction and the corruption up there, it looks like they're in desperate need of that skill set. And so I'm running for United States Senate to unravel that dysfunction for the people of Georgia. It's just simply not working for them. We've seen that with Hurricane Michael relief and many more things.
One of the things I've talked about with the man who has the job now, with others who hold office in D.C. and elsewhere for that matter, there's this team mentality. I'm on my team, you're on your team, and this is a blood sport, and only one of us can win. Competition's great, but at some point, don't we have to have cooperation and collaboration?
Yeah, you know, they're addicted to the fight, right? I mean, you know, there's something comes up, a challenge, and they look immediately to how can I stoke my base and how can I demean my opponent instead of how can we resolve this for the American people or the people of my state, Georgia. And they've lost that somehow. You know, the Senate used to be the world's most deliberative body, and now it looks more like the World Wrestling Federation up there. And so you're right. It's supposed to be a healthy competition of ideas. That's what the two-party system in this country is all about. And somehow they have gotten off track. And as mayor, I was a Democrat. Everybody knew that. I was open and proud about it. But I had to work as a nonpartisan with other elected officials who were nonpartisan. And so it's amazing how when you look at the objective of a piece of litigation or a potential solution to a challenge, you just have to align the objective with the individual voter's interest, right? And the legislator's interest. And so there were many times when we had unanimous votes, we had 10 counselors, unanimous votes on a controversial issue. They were all voting for completely different reasons, but it didn't matter because we were getting the objective done. And so that's what happens when you have a solution maker in there helping to lead the process, is that you find a way to make this piece of legislation, this potential solution, important to them from their perspective and their interest. And that's where you find the common ground.
All right, well, let's talk about some issues then and maybe try to find some of that common ground. Teresa Tomlinson running for Senate here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about a couple of these issues. A Democratic presidential candidate just a few days ago acknowledging that he wants to come take my guns away. Where are you on that issue?
Yeah. You know, I don't know Beto O'Rourke, obviously, but I can only imagine the trauma that they've experienced with the murders there. You know, that's a pretty stunning and emotional circumstance. And so I do not, however, believe that confiscation is possible or lawful. And that's my lawyer background talking there. So mandatory buybacks, while I completely understand the people that are urging them because they want an immediate resolution to what is an out-of-control situation. But as I was public safety director in addition to being mayor, so the police chief, fire chief, and so forth reported direct to me, and I understand the role of law enforcement. We're not making their job any easier, putting these weapons of war on the street. And so the better way to do it, frankly, is to have an assault weapons ban, a prospective assault weapons ban.
Well, we do have an assault weapons ban, don't we? I can't have a fully automatic. I mean, I suppose we need to define what we mean when we say assault weapons.
But there are definitions. You know, there's definitions related to how quickly they load the chamber and so forth. So there are definitions related to that, and you can Google them and look them up. But yes, talking about semi-automatic assault rifles. And so the thing is, to the ones that are killing the people on our streets right now, when you hear horrifically that somebody's walked into a mall or some public place and shot 26 people in less than 60 seconds, then you know that was a semi-automatic assault rifle. And those are the ones people want to get off the streets and have a high, you know, high support among the American people to do so. But you also have to then limit the transfer of those weapons, even privately. When you do that, then you can go in with effective public-private partnerships for buyback. You can't do a buyback right now. I could set up a table, we've done them before in Columbus, and said, hey, you know, bring your weapon, we'll pay you for them. Well, all they're going to bring you are the broken weapons, the ones they don't want to use, because they're getting them from other places, anywhere they want them.
And then go buy a better weapon.
Right, exactly. And so you've got to decide what it is you want to limit and why, and then go effectively go after it. And I propose a semi-automatic assault weapon ban prospectively, limiting the transfers of them for those who currently own them. And then, of course, you're going to have a market for the buyback, because we're not going to be able to sell it on the black market, which we really have to work with in this country, and they're not going to be able to sell it privately. So then you can buy them back. And there's all sorts of foundations and nonprofit organizations that would love to invest in buyback programs.
We'll leave aside for a moment that the government didn't buy it from or sell it to me in the first place, so the government ought not be buying it back. We'll leave aside that bit. Let's move on to something else here really quickly, Teresa Tomlinson, Senate candidate. Take about, I don't know, 90 seconds and fix health care.
Yeah, well, we're already on our way there, frankly. I know it was had a controversial start, but I think people now see the benefit of the ACA and the structure that it's set up. So we have to go in and begin to tweak that where we see that it has failed. So I'm for universal health care. That is not Medicare for all. I think that's too shocking to our economic and health delivery system. But universal health care is a process through which we partner with both private interests and the government to make sure that every citizen has access to full and meaningful health care along the transect of their life.
Which is, that sounds like what Obamacare was intended to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can do it better. I mean, we need to look at it. The one thing that got us off the rails, there were a couple things, but one in particular was the state declining to expand Medicaid, right? And most of them, well, all of them were Republican states that just didn't want to facilitate Obama's good idea. And in Georgia, we now know that over 600,000 people suffered as a result of that. So I think the federal government is going to have to look at how they can to our citizens, those are United States citizens, and the fact that there's 600,000 citizens suffering in Georgia, dying in Georgia, for political gamesmanship, I think is a bridge too far. And we can get down to solving things by still respecting states, still respecting the federal federalist structure we have in this country, but saving our citizens.
All right, Teresa Tomlinson, Senate candidate. Let you go on this one. Seeking the opportunity to challenge Republican incumbent David Perdue next November. Would have plenty of opportunity to take shots at him. But I want you to, for a moment, quickly focus, because you got to win that nomination. And there are at least three other folks who have announced. You have Ted Terry. We spoke with him. I will reach out to Sarah Riggs Amico and John Ossoff. I mean, how do you see yourself fitting into that field? You were first out of the gate. Does that mean anything at this point?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I say this pretty boldly and flat-footedly, I am the only candidate who can beat David Perdue, and that's not because they're not wonderful, and it's not because they don't have political talent and whatever their backgrounds bring. But a lot of folks may not know, particularly if they live in metro Atlanta area, that David Perdue holds what Georgians call the non-metro Atlanta Senate seat. Now, that's not written down anywhere. That's not in the Constitution. It's just a tradition that this state has of having one senator from the metro Atlanta area, one senator from the non-metro Atlanta area. And it shows our balance and respect for the life journeys of the different people in the different regions of this state. And so David Perdue holds that non-metro Atlanta seat. And so he and my strategy, my theory of the case, can only be beaten by a formidable woman with great name recognition in Central and South Georgia who eats into his rural strategy margins. And the Democrats have abandoned folks politically, not with her ideology, but in the politicking of leading up to an election, we have done very little in those 90 counties. Stacey Abrams was one of the first to even go. She's the one who recognized, my God, you know, there's 90 counties down there that we don't really till the field. And I thought for a very decade that we've done a poor job at getting out there. So if we get into those counties where I've been, where my family's from, as you mentioned at the top of the show, we can shave those margins. When you do that, the rural strategy cannot be executed. And so that's my, as I said, theory of the case and strategy to win this. And, of course, I think we're just in desperate need of new leadership, not only from the failure of Hurricane Michael relief that's led, you know, to having communities and farmers in desperation now almost a year out, and checks haven't yet been delivered for something that's just a rote federal effort of emergency aid, to the declaration of tariffs on our own farmers. You know, they've been gut punched in Central and South Georgia, those farmers. We can do better, and there's no need they've become a pawn in some sort of ego game that really the president and his enabler, David Perdue, in this instance, don't understand global markets.
Oh, got to leave it there.
And they failed us.
Up against it, got to leave it there. Teresa Tomlinson, again, the website, she thought long and hard and came up with TeresaTomlinson.com. Teresa Tomlinson, candidate for U.S. Senate, the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate in 2020. Teresa Tomlinson, best of luck. We'll talk again. Thanks for your time
this
morning.
Thank you, Tim.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.